Catch up on the Rush Hour with Jars and Louie thanks to McGain Real Estate. McGainagain.com.au. Triple M.
Great to have your company, Adelaide. A big 2 hours to come, a Rush Hour Tuesday edition. Let's get straight to the big man himself. Welcome, Juice, to Tuesday.
G'day, Louie. G'day, Adelaide, Mount Gambier, and the world. The world, yeah. Do listen to us, Lulu. Uh-huh. Good to be here on a Tuesday.
Hey, loving it. Andrew Fagan, CEO of the Adelaide Crows, will join us. Of course, today is the day that the AFL fixture comes out. I know. It's unbelievable that a draw would dominate the news landscape, but
hello.
It does.
Are we that bad for news?
I'll tell you what, the AFL looking to dominate the landscape just holds it, drip feeds it out, and then we all go ballistic. Who, how many
they
Friday night?
Suffocate us, Luke.
Who got how many on Friday night? Who's prime time? Who's this? What's that? Who's got back-to-back-to-backs? All of that will be coming up next. We'll be a slave to fashion. We'll do a bit on it. But Fags at 5:10, and we'll get some straight shooting answers too in relation to Jake Lever, in relation to Charlie Cameron, in relation to Eddie Betts expecting twins. All those big three questions.
And I've got some mail for him too, Fakes.
Have
I'm going to put him between his ears.
Oh, I like that. Rodney Hogg's going to talk cricket and the number six and the wicket-keeping position, where he thinks all that might fall ahead of the Ashes, which start, can you believe, November 23.
Not far away.
England are in the country, and we are not far away from the Ashes. Cannot wait for that. Tredge will join us as well. And Jars, being the lifestyle guru that is, family, I thought it's time we tapped into Murph, this great resource of ours.
Okay, Lou.
No one does it better than the big fella. His ability just to let it roll off the back. Water off a duck's back is the old saying. Yep. His ability to cope with being, obviously, in the public eye, yet keep balance. Mm. That perfect balance in his life where he's both humble and the humility, yet
thanks, Lou.
Has stride, has swagger when required. Just that, you know, that unique je ne sais pas, as the French would say.
I like that, Lou.
That ability just to balance it all out, know when to go, know when to stay, how to earth, how to get off the grid, on the front foot, down the pitch, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Right. So Juice is just going to give us some lifestyle tips. Nice. Just after around about 5:30. If you're struggling to break free of the stranglehold that stress has got on you and your lifestyle and your family and your enjoyment of your life.
I'm here for you.
5:30. Jars is here for you. All right?
Yeah.
Good to go, man.
Hey, Lou. Okay.
It's all right. The Purge window, new addition to the Rush Hour. If you missed the cutoff yesterday for Duck Club, the Purge window will be opening.
I've got one for us.
In about 5 to 10 minutes' time. A chance to get in if you've had a second thought and a sleepless night. Duck Club Purge window is now open. 133353 call. Up next, we're talking fixture. Can you believe it?
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Don't forget the last chance Purge window's open for Duck Club too. 133353. If you felt like you had a sleepless night and couldn't get it off and it's starting to affect work and family life, give us a call. 133353. Juice, you've got one that we'll get to shortly.
Yes, Lulee.
Hold it, hold
it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
2018 AFL fixture has been released. Yeah. I mean, the fanfare, it's extraordinary, isn't it? Oh. God, we're trying to turn football into a 24/7 business.
Honestly.
Oh, it is crazy. It's just a fixture. Crazy.
That's all it is.
We already knew that Port Adelaide kicked off the season March 24 here at home against Fremantle, and the Crows will take on Essendon Etihad on Friday,
prime time.
23rd prime time.
Thank you.
Crows have got 5 Friday night prime time slots this year to go with the Adelaide with the Sydney Swans and the Tigers, the reigning premiers, with 4 on a Friday night, Essendon, Western Bulldogs, and Carlton. Carlton.
Say that, hang on.
Carlton have 4 Friday night games. I am going to refer you, Judge, to the precedent of the case of 2015 when they had at least 7 and the debacle that was that Friday nights just turned into, and I'll quote from the great Bible of Dennis Cometti, it was a pain in the ass.
Good on your AFL house.
How does that even happen?
What do you reckon?
Travis Old says it's due to a bit of circumstance.
Well, what other circumstances?
Yeah,
well,
I don't think there are any that has Carlton deserving a 4
They're
prime
a bottom
times.
4 side. They're rebuilding. They're still 2 or 3 years away from being a very good football side.
Oh, you know, I just...
They're not a Friday night side.
Short memories. Channel 7 must be pulling any hair they have left
Channel
out
7.
Right now on that, because they have to cop it sweet.
Oh, it must be that VFL influence they have down there in AFL house.
Hey.
I know.
Hey,
I've got to calm down.
You've got to let that stuff go. All right. Some of the other big news. Port 2 Friday nighters. They've got a Thursday night in there as well. Collingwood, Geelong, St Kilda with 3. Right, The other good stuff, and this is intriguing. It's unique this year. Back-to-back-to-back-to-back games for Adelaide.
Yeah.
Round six through to round nine. One of those is a showdown, which is a Port game.
Yeah.
And Port Adelaide, they get it, I think, from
memory.
They've
got three, Lou.
And it's round about...
Round 12, Lou.
That's what it was. Round 12 to 14,
Lou.
Where they're at home for 3 weeks in a row, which goes Friday, Thursday, Friday.
Richmond, Western Bulldogs, Melbourne.
Mm, which is a really good win for Port Adelaide in that sense.
Now, is that because, Lulu, that the Gold Coast won't have their facility available due to the...
Com games. Yeah, they don't play at home for the first couple of months or something ridiculous
10,
like
12
that.
Weeks.
Yeah,
right,
so that, it's a quirky draw in that sense. Outside of that, I was just sort of trying to look through other key stuff. 6 day breaks.
Who's got them?
Adelaide's got six of them.
Yeah.
Port have got five. Sydney top it out at eight. Carlton have seven.
Good boys.
Which is no good again for Carlton. With
Carlton
a young
seven.
List, 7 6-day breaks.
They'll be cooked.
The Jake Stringer Cup, round three.
For that. That's a good one.
And I think Watsy comes up against his old mob at about, I'm just looking there, it is, round 14.
What about
Adelaide Oval? Book that one in Port fans.
And what about Jake the Snake Lever? When do we
Jake
see
Jake Lever? Well, you've got to go to Alice Springs if you want to see that. Oh. I mean, there's one of the most missed opportunities. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to wait until round 19.
Righto.
July 28, Adelaide Oval night game, when the Demons come to town if you want to see Tex and the Jake Show.
Now, the Crows' last two games, Lulu, we play the Kangaroos and Carlton. Should we just play our rookie-listed players?
Well, I looked at that, and I looked through the start of the year, and I thought, you already had one bye at round 14. Yeah. You're going to go, you're going to finish the season like this. You're going to go bye, finals bye. You won't play a game for a month.
Gee.
With North Melbourne and Carlton.
We shouldn't really be disrespectful to these two sides, but they're in the top bottom four for the spoon.
Well, at this point in time,
Lulu.
And Port Adelaide finished the year off with Collingwood round 22 at the MCG away.
And then
at home
Essendon.
With Essendon to be confirmed.
Two good
as
games
to what
for Port Adelaide.
So
the draws
that,
for both respective clubs, are we happy with it? Do we care?
Is there such a thing as a good draw and a hellish draw?
Because I don't think there is.
Take this year, for example. Sydney are 0-6.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they were.
Every club would have penciled in Sydney early on, especially at home. Yeah. Oh, that's a loss. But no one came away with a loss. All right. The other one that I found of great interest was that we've gone from 22 Saturday afternoon traditional time slot games down to four, I think.
Four, yep.
Just four.
So we've gone to...
Port Adelaide got a real couple of quirky ones at the 4:15 on Saturdays.
Yep.
In fact, Port have got 12 of its 22 home and aways on Saturdays. All right. 4:05, sorry, that time. That twilight.
That's the twilight affair. Game, Lulu.
I don't know about that. That's not great for grassroots footy, is it? Because they all flip off and don't hang around and stay
at
the bar.
No, they don't. Not for prezos.
No.
That concerns me a little bit, Lulu.
If you want to know anything else about it,
read
up on it yourself because I'm sick of it. I really am. It is just, it's overload.
What's next from the AFL?
Sitting on Twitter and I'm watching it all come through and everyone's posting things out and I'm just going,
who cares?
Jeez. Diversity. Let's have a little bit of off season. Let's talk cricket.
Yeah.
Well, we are soon. Rodney Hogg's coming up on the show. We've got a new segment soon too, Jazz.
Yeah.
Law and Backyard Order.
Nice.
And Fags on the way as well. Andrew Fagan, CEO of the Adelaide Crows. 5:10.
Nicknames.
Rush Hour. Triple M. Thanks to McGain Real Estate. Quality, service and performance. That describes the Rush Hour as well, doesn't it? Jazz and Louis, 104.7 Triple M.
Time to talk cricket. And he's our go-to guy when we can get him. Former Australian great quick. The one and only Rodney Hoggy. Great to have you back for the summer of 2017-18.
Always happy to be here.
Geniuses at Work was the sign put up here about 3 days ago when the Redbacks took on New South Wales or Australia A. And the pink ball went bananas.
Well, if you want to be fitting about who would be the best bowler with a white ball or a pink ball, it's got to be Mitchell Starc in the history of the game. He's incredible. And the poor guys, whoever runs into him, I mean, Head and Ferguson, a bit of a chance. Head, certainly a bit of a chance for that number six spot. And you've got a bloke over there as a keeper. I haven't really heard of him before.
Alex Carey.
Is that his name? Is it?
Alex Carey.
I better pay a bit of attention to him because I'm never really that interested in keepers. But anyway, apparently his name's being pushed around. But
apparently, you were when they put one down, Hoggy. You were very interested in who the keeper was.
Well, if you've got a nick, yeah. But you run into Mitchell Starc with a pink ball, and I know the temperatures at this time. I mean, that's the asylum's struck again with that decision. To, really, what are we doing with a pink ball? We've got three games, three warm-up games. We want to get our batsmen into form, and they come out with a pink ball. It's not until a second test match. Do they know that we're not playing the first test match with a pink ball? It's a red ball. So worry about the pink ball when we've got a couple of batsmen trying to make some runs, but certainly no, it was a bit of a wasted game, wasn't it? No one really stood up and put their hand up.
And sort of all put them on the back foot. The two contentious spots, number six and the keeper. Let's start with number six. Your thoughts?
This is the Australian selectors working again through the media. apparently number three was the last time we played. Smith batted at three, so you've given Khawaja the number three spot, have you?
Yep.
You've put him in there.
Yep.
I don't think anybody put their hand up for that number six spot in the first Shield game. I mean, Sean Marsh got some runs, but had a lot of opportunities. Stoinis failed, Hendrik Ayres failed, Maxwell failed, Cartwright got a few,
Madison Head
failed, Head failed.
At some point, we've got to get back to the ability that actually we've got to, if you're going to take a punt, I mean, the side that is around these positions, especially six and then potentially the wicketkeeper, is you've got to back someone in at some point. We can't have the revolving door policy, Hoggy.
No. Well, look, Head's played in every one-day game, in the T20s, all the games. The end of last summer when we played Pakistan, all the one-day games through. So if he gets a score, why can't we go with him? Maxwell, to me, made a century in probably about his second last test
in
match.
India,
made a good and did a couple of things. Yeah. So, yeah, Maxwell's there. I hear the name Stoinis coming out, but he averaged about 17 in with the red ball last summer, so I couldn't see them going. Look, I understand what you're saying, but and you're probably going down to Carey. All right, son, here's an opportunity, but it is an Ashes, and has he done enough to? I don't know. I don't know how much Carey's actually physically done, how well he's kept. It's a pretty easy place to keep Adelaide Oval. I'm not taking anything away from him. He might have kept well there, but if Neville dropped an easy one, it's interesting with selection because I remember we had a batsman here in a kid called Prescott, and the selectors came out to watch him, and he made a beautiful fit. The selector left, and as soon as he left, he jumped down the wicket and got stumped by 4 feet. But the selector didn't see that. Sometimes the selectors don't watch every ball. Now, did they see Neville drop that lollipop? Have they watched this kid Carey keep? Well, I don't know. I don't know how selectors are thinking about keeping, but Neville did go away and did make some runs after he went away.
Do you need an average keeper who can make runs, or a very good keeper that sometimes gets runs?
You know, you can drop a catch and then all of a sudden the bloke goes on and gets 100. So keeping is a pretty important aspect of the game. So we've always gone now these days, we want someone who can bat. So we want someone who can obviously bat at seven, but they've got to be able to keep too. So the keeper, apparently bowlers don't have to be able to bat and batsmen don't have to be able to bowl, but keepers have got to be able to bat.
Yeah, they're all trying to find the next Gilchrist, and there was only one of him. They'll never find another one like that again.
No, good call. That's your best call for a while, and you'll never find another Warne. You won't find another probably Dennis Lilley.
You'll never find another Hoggy.
Well, if you're talking about sledging and swearing, they won't because you're not allowed to anymore.
That's true. Hey, Hoggy, the Poms, is this the worst side they're bringing over to Australia in a long period of time? And does Ben Stokes get on the plane later on in the tour?
Well, I was thinking about the Stokes situation. I haven't followed it over closely, but two gay guys come out of a nightclub and get knifed and beaten up by two blokes. But that didn't happen because along came Ben Stokes, who probably saved him from being beaten up and glassed. He probably went a bit overboard. We just saw the end of it. We need the whole police report. And if he gets, if the police say we're not going to press any charges, why can't he come out? I mean, he really went in 24 hours. He went from villain to Robin Hood, didn't he? In the space of 24 hours. So you know they need Stokes for sure. Yeah. He's a fantastic player, Stokes.
Great to have a chat, mate. Looking forward to
good
the
to talk cricket, mate. Good to talk cricket.
See you guys.
See you, mate. Ronnie Hogg on the Rush Hour.
Thanks to McGain Real Estate. It's the Rush Hour. Jars and Louis on 104.7 Triple M.
In suburbs all over Australia, maintaining a good relationship with neighbours is a delicate balance. How long should I borrow the tools for? What time can I start the mower on a Sunday morning? To help navigate this rocky terrain, the Rush Hour has introduced Law and Backyard Order.
Oh, I like it. He's new voiceover man.
You know, that's...
Yeah.
Mm. Now...
and other such topics, which we will get to. Dropping of the fruit. The overhanging
tree. And backyard order.
Yeah, I like it. Mm. I mean.
Overhanging trees.
Whose bin is it really?
Mm.
All right. First up, though. First
Go.
On the agenda.
Right.
Retaining walls. Okay. 133353. Jump on Twitter.
Come on, family.
Those who have had the experience, whether it be good or bad, love to hear your stories. 133353. But most importantly, love to know the considerations involved.
Okay.
I mean, if you cut or you fill, who retains? Mm. Who doesn't retain?
Who pays?
Who pays? Is it shared 50-50? So confusing. Mm. So confusing. Went to council the other day looking for clarity. Took photos with me.
Mm.
Came out worse for wear.
Did you really?
Yeah. Didn't really get the man I wanted.
They didn't know.
They tried to help. Tried to do all the right things, but walked away still unsure.
Mm.
Now, I've got.
Have you got a good relationship with your neighbour?
Not bad at times.
Oh, no. He's upset you.
You're talking about the one who I burnt up at the nonna, who was in her 80s.
Yes.
Yeah.
This
neighbour I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, no, pretty good. Pretty good. What I've got at the moment, I've got his land falling down on mine.
So you need some clarification on where you can put your wall.
I'm not cutting and I'm not filling.
Okay.
All right. But his has fallen down into my yard.
Okay.
All right. So I just want to go to the family on this because, you know, as you said, law and backyard order.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we've all been through it.
Yeah.
Maybe some subtle hints of how to approach it.
Give you some assistance.
Yeah, you just don't want to burn. You don't want to start there and just drop a bomb straight off, you know. Tact.
Ooh. How high is the retaining wall?
Well, look, there's a fair bit of dirt sitting up there. Oh, I mean, anything under 1.2, you don't need council permission.
But
all right,
you're being honest.
But the key with this one is what I need to know is when I walk over with documents, said documents under arm.
Said documents, yeah.
I go, do I roll in saying, you need to fix this? I'm not paying a cent.
Oh, see, that's where it gets ugly.
Yeah, well, this is the thing.
It's got to be 50-50 split, doesn't it?
Well, I would have thought, given the fact that I haven't touched anything and his land is falling on mine, it would have been his prerogative, I would have thought, to retain because he's the one that levelled the block out in the first place, pushed it to the side.
Okay.
And if it's fallen down to me, this is the questions I need answered, family.
Well,
133353,
yes,
law and backyard order with a brand new voiceover man.
Law and backyard order.
All right, Luke. All right. Phones are coming through. Do you want to take a quickie?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. I don't think they're quite ready yet.
We've got two of them out there.
No, we can do one right after this break, though, okay?
Tell you what, Jazz, thank God the AFL draw came out today. Just to take my focus on it.
Dog's breakfast today.
Let me push this button and we'll come back after this.
That's all you want to do is push buttons.
Jazz's email is about to read out.
Yeah, we'll do that afterward.
Yeah, we've got some phone calls coming through. We're going to play a little stinger there, Murph. Yeah, you're 3 for 3 today.
Okay, let's go.
We decided against it.
No, we were playing the little short one.
Law and backyard order.
Brand new segment happening. I'm just sort of delving into the things that we all come across in a world where we live with neighbours.
Yeah.
And I've got a retaining wall issue that's happening at the moment. Mm. A bit of land next door is falling down on mine. I haven't altered anything.
No.
It's just started to landslide.
So you need to sort out.
Just asking the family who have been in these situations,
Beautiful.
Maybe the way to go about it, best approach. Love to hear some horror stories, some good stories, good neighbour relations, all that sort of stuff. And most importantly, who pays?
Yeah. Ethan of Victor Harbour. G'day, Ethan.
How you going, boys?
Can you help out Lulu?
Oh, I can tell him some horror stories.
Go, shoot.
Me and my partner recently bought a block of land, and the land next to it on the lower side was also empty at the time we bought, and they seemed to build a little bit faster than us.
Yep.
He asked us what our levels were going to be, and we said, we're not sure, just retain to what's there.
Yep.
And he decided, oh, well, they're surely going to cut a bit out the back.
Yep.
So he didn't retain to what was there.
Yep.
Then in that big storm we had last September...
Yes.
All the rain went into his backyard and flooded it.
Oh, of course.
And then, of course, because he'd done it on the cheap and we didn't actually cut that much out of it, it was going to be constantly short. It would happen every time it rained.
Oh, yes.
So we said, mate, you got to fix it. And he said, well, I'm not fixing it. We spoke to our building site supervisor.
On the high side.
He said, you can take him to court if you want, but he just has to argue it and it'll get... push back and back and cost you tens and tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh,
so we ended up having to replace the whole thing out of our own pocket.
Ethan. Oh, that is horror stuff, mate. Thanks for sharing.
Good on you, mate.
Food for thought, cheers.
Double pass to the International Rules Series for you there, Ethan. See the AFL's best at the Virgin Australian International Rules Series November 12, mate. Thank you very much. Steve of Gawler East. G'day, Steve.
Stevie. Hang on, mate.
Oi.
Start again. Start again. Can't hear.
Stevie.
Right, that's better.
Right, Nick Cowboys.
Oh, jeez, rough. Are you on hands free?
No. I can't hear him, Lou.
It's the type of day.
What's
we're
going
having.
On?
What sort of day?
Oh, I don't know.
Somebody got the pink nut.
He had info on the retaining walls, Lou.
Tell you what, they're going through us like Mitch Stark. At the
higher
moment.
Property is responsible.
Yeah, in theory.
So that means
not me.
That's your man.
Yeah, okay. That was always my thought.
All right.
So,
Stevie, you there?
You hear me now.
Yes.
Right. Rule of thumb, guys, is from a brand new block. You're guided by an engineer in regards to who needs requires.
Yep.
When you're cutting out a block of land, the person who's cutting out the block of land who exposes the land around either the side or the back of it to a point where that land would topple has to retain that wall.
Yeah, he who cuts pays. I know that.
Right. So if a retainer wall is already present, and I've seen quite a bit of the industry with the building industry that I go out and have a look at, a lot of them are timber retainer walls, and they've been there for yonks.
Mm-hmm.
The person who owns the retaining wall is the person at the lower side of the property, not the person on the higher side. So when it comes to retaining, for the cost to retain that wall, not the person on the higher side, then you have to retain.
All right, Stevie, it's a little bit hard to hear. We hear an episode of Doctor Who. What were they, the Daleks? Is that what it was?
But you got the gist Daleks. Of it, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the most, the Daleks, that's it. Thanks, mate. The clarity, what is, there is a rocky-type structure there that sits there that keeps some of it, but yep. In one spot there's nothing, and it's just slope, and it's falling down onto my property.
Okay.
And again, when I want to enter into discussions, you need to know where you stand as to whether I pay, pays, if it's falling down.
Mm.
I mean, I haven't altered anything.
Yeah,
that's the big one.
Are you taking photos?
For photos. Good. I'm checking measurements, movement.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
Checking movements?
Tell you what, all that's left to say is the AFL draws come out, and so too is Kevin Spacey.
It's the Rush Hour at Triple M.
Catch up on the Rush Hour with Jars and Louie thanks to McGain Real Estate. McGainagain.com.au. Triple M.
Thanks for the calls too, family. Retaining walls. That segment, Law and Backyard Order, that is the here to stay, Juice, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Just trying to delve into it because we've all got our issues out there.
Everyone has.
Little bits and just sometimes you need that clarity. And I don't know about you, but not all of us can afford Duncan Bashir Hannon on retainer like Jars can, who can go to it every single time. Juice, an email came across
your desk. You've got mail.
Communicate. Geez, the communication on the show is not great today.
No, it's not.
You've got mail.
Jars has
got
an
play
email.
That again, I'll bust your fingers.
Pertaining to Duck Club, and what we've been able to say is, but sometimes Monday they're too gun shy. It's too raw.
Yeah.
So the purge window, in particular,
I like this.
Not so much dobbing in on a Tuesday, but purging on a Tuesday, purge Tuesday, we might call it.
All right.
As well as Two Grand Tuesday for the quiz with no name coming up just out of five. I'll do your job, Bert.
Good on you, Luke.
Has been able to come up, Josh. You've got an email relating to a duck.
Now, I got this email sent about an hour before we went on the show from Andrew Ramage, who's got JKR Builders, all right? Now, listen to this. G'day, Jars and Louie. Now, just got something for you regarding Duck Club. It's about my young lad.
Yes.
Now, my young lad played cricket on Saturday morning for the Sacred Heart College Year 9s against St. Michael's College.
Yep.
He opened the batting, got a corker of a Yorker from Archie Nilsson, son of.
Oh, wow.
Which is Timmy's, for a golden duck, Lou.
Oh.
Then Saturday afternoon, he packed up his gear, went off to the Adelaide Cricket Club under 16s v. Kensington.
Oh, the Browns.
He fielded all day. Except there was two overs left at the end of the day for the second game in a row. Guess what? Caught down leg side off his glove for another duck.
Tickle.
Two ducks into one day.
Double ducking.
Andrew's son.
Oh.
Two ducks into one day.
Wow.
He was devastated, went straight to the car, said he'll never open again. You can get stuff through his cricket gear in the back of the boot.
Yep.
Very, 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 very funny young man. But Timmy Nilsson, former Australian coach, texted the young man and said, look, the sun will come up tomorrow, champ.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, so there you go. Oh. Andrew's son, two ducks in one day. Now,
does he name
is that
it?
A, no name.
That's right. Just
there's
checking.
No name of young Andy's lad. But
a double ducking.
Yeah, so the lad was going to ring through to purge, but
he wanted to.
Dad got involved, which is fantastic. Right. And that's what we're all about, Lou.
Well, it is. Actually, Murph, while we've got it, Aaron. Aaron Sayers tweeted earlier, have rang the hotline, is the Duck Club hotline, 8299-8091. It's a thing you want to get into on a Saturday if you've made none.
Yes, sir.
Or one of your teammates. Complaining of no airtime after ringing the hotline. Well, we said, as you want to be funny if you're self-promoting, all right? And here is Aaron Sayers purging on the hotline.
Aaron Sayers here. Chatty Sayers is older, wiser and better-looking brother. Obviously, put my hand up. Got a duck on the weekend. Sometimes, you know, you just get a good one first up and play all round it and see the stumps come crashing down. So, a bit stiff, but, you know, we get on with life, don't we? Just got to nominate a few other boys from the mighty Port Adelaide Magpies on the weekend. We had a good one. Nick Cardis globed up as well. Scotty Dowd-Galish, Richard Carter and Michael McDonald. So, good weekend for the mighty pigs there.
Oh, very
well
nice.
Well done, Az.
Well done, Azza.
See, there you go.
It was worth the wait, too. Good there self-promotion.
There you go. There you go, family.
Now the purging window almost shut.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah. Two grand Tuesday, too, everybody. Quiz coming up just after five. Andrew Fagan, CEO of the Adelaide Crows, to answer all the hard questions as well.
It's the Rush Hour, Charles and Louis. Thanks to McGain Real Estate, 104.7 Triple M.
Great to have your company, Adelaide. 2K Tuesday, the quiz with no name. $2,000 up for grabs for 60 seconds. You're throwing an Automaster's lifeline and it's just 9 questions. And
that's it.
And get a bull. Get a bull. Double dose of Fags coming up. Andrew Fagan, Andrew Warren. Actually, a double dose of Warrens this hour.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Warren Fagan and Warren Gary Treadray.
The Treads.
CEO of the Crows and Channel 9's very own and our good mate.
Yeah.
Lover boy himself, Warren Treadray. So that is coming up. And Jars is earthing, giving us tips how to just get off the grid and just balance yourself out. It's a beautiful segment.
Can I just throw something in? Former Crows star Brent Riley, the new senior coach of the Henley Football Club.
Radar,
got appointed yesterday because Jared Wright's now coaching South Adelaide. So congratulations to young Radar.
Well done, Radar.
Good get by the Sharkers.
That is good get, Caro. Well played. Adam Gilchrist.
Yes, Lou.
Has spoken on who should keep for our country, and in who knows better than Gilly.
Oh.
Much debate at the moment around Nifty Nev, Matty Wade, and of course our very own, despite Hoggy not knowing who he was, Alex Carey. Here's what Gilly had to say.
Definitely gloves first, without doubt. Yeah, that, you know, begs the question, should Neville have been dropped? Generally, everyone feels that he's probably the best keeper around at the moment. You then start talking about, you know, bat and lip and verbals. That's what brought Matty Wade back into the equation. He's very talkative, he's energetic, and that's great. But that, for mine, shouldn't just be a standalone sort of selection criteria.
There is the former great Adam Gilchrist.
Pick the best keeper.
Simple.
Don't bring in a bloke that can bat and be verbal. Wade hasn't made a run in 3 years since he's worn an Australian cap.
Yeah.
Alex Carey is a 10 times better bat than Matthew Wade.
Yeah, the school of thought is this, that you're in the top six because you can bat.
That's it, Lou.
And if you don't get the job done, that's the problem.
Absolutely.
The wicketkeeper shouldn't be saving your skin on a regular basis.
No, not at all. So back in Neville... Back in Neville, I know I've been banging on that. Back in Neville for the couple of test matches, if he fails with the gloves, give Alex Carey an opportunity.
If you can't do your primary responsibility, that is either bat, bowl or keep.
There you go.
Don't play.
Don't play. So bring him in to keep.
Yeah. Like where you're going, Juice. I'll tell you what. Might just put a rocket up a few selectors. Wreck them.
Do you want to push this button?
Yes, I do.
The Rush Hour's quiz with no name. Thanks to Automasters.
Your drive home isn't always smooth, but make sure your car runs smoothly. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
Give me money.
Stop press. It's 2K Tuesday.
There it is. The Wonder Boy Sam is hanging around outside the studio.
He's a genius.
Just to be in existence around the evidence of work. Very nice, Sam. Double
well
thumbs
done,
up
Sammy.
For that, mate. 2K Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tell you what, who's playing today?
Well, we're going to go to O'Halloran Hill and say hello to Phil. G'day, Phil.
Hey, how you going, boys?
Oh, it's poetic justice,
nice,
isn't it?
Phil.
Phil from O'Halloran Hill.
Oh, no, Luke.
Oh, this has got a
2K Tuesday,
this has
Phil.
Got winner, winner, chicken dinner written all over it, Phil.
Wait.
10 questions, Phil. 60 seconds, 1 Automasters lifeline. All right.
No worries.
Because it's 2K on the line, Murph expecting things to be tightened up. He'll be very buzzer sensitive at the end. And whatever comes out has to be taken as your final answer, okay?
No worries.
Righto, we all set everybody for 2K Tuesday.
All good.
Yeah,
Murphy, just pinch my pen.
I'll tell you what.
And I need to tick things off, as you know,
Luke. It's been one of the shows, a show for the ages, Phil. Let's hope you can be a highlight amongst a very ordinary afternoon so far. Good luck. Here's Jars with the first question.
Okay, who are the Redbacks playing in their next Shield match?
WA.
Name the captain of the English cricket team.
Root.
Name a Crows player who was delisted yesterday, Phil.
Ellis Yeoman.
Which Australian sport does Matthew Mott coach?
Rugby.
Which Crows player and his wife are expecting twins in April?
Eddie Betts.
Which driver won this year's Formula One championship?
Lewis Hamilton.
Which team is Port Adelaide playing in their first official AFL game next year, Phil?
Fremantle.
That's four, actually. Is Max Dynamite an adult movie star or a racehorse?
Can you repeat that?
Is Max Dynamite an adult movie star or a racehorse?
Racehorse.
What date is May? What Quick. Date in May is Port's game in China?
19th.
Will you give him 10 or not?
We can't tell.
Because I hesitated.
Yeah, well, you went over the question twice, and then you butchered and had a whinge about which Australian and which crow and which driver and which team.
Throw in 10 in, mate. I apologise.
What's Tiger Woods' real first name? Phil from O'Halloran Hill?
Autonarsis.
Clever, as Brucey McAvaney would say.
Clever.
That's it, bro.
Always good to get the sponsor in.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Correct.
Fabulous work, Phil. Fabulous work. Great comeback after you botched the first. Well played. That is a great effort, mate. $80 coming your way, Phyllis.
Oh, better than I thought I'd do.
Bush Rangers, they're playing, the Redbacks.
Oh, Bush Rangers, right.
And Matthew Mott coaches the women's cricket, the Australian coach for women's cricket.
Yep.
But other than that, outstanding work. Automasters, Eldrick. Tiger Woods' real first name.
He's been busy lately, old Eldrick.
Yeah, he's had more surgeries than he's had, you know, what's, and that was awfully hard to do.
Nah, well played.
Well done, Phil.
No worries. Thanks, fellas.
There he is, Phil from O'Halloran Hill. Apologize. $80 in the skyrocket. Murph's breathing a lot better over there.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, which, honestly.
Fancy you being on a witch hunt on Halloween.
Hello.
Oh, you should do radio, Lou.
Have you had your brakes checked recently?
Come and catch the show. I'm here from 4 to 6 weekdays.
Call 1300 Automasters. Andrew Fagan, CEO of the Adelaide Crows, coming up next. Triple M.
Catch up on the Rush Hour with Jars and Louie, thanks to McGain Real Estate. McGainagain.com.au. Triple M.
Special guest in studio, CEO of the Adelaide Crows, Andrew Fagan. Fags, welcome.
It's good to be here, guys.
G'day,
Long
mate.
Long time no see. You're looking very svelte. We'll get to the secrets a little later, but let's talk draw. It's out. I would be thinking you'd be wrapped. 5 Friday nights, prime time, but some really good fixtures right throughout.
Yeah, look, we are very, very happy. It's an outstanding result for the football club, for our fans and the football club more broadly. As you said, some great teams that we play here. We kick off the season sort of at, you know, the home season in blockbuster games. Yeah. You know, Richmond on a Thursday night, Collingwood on a Friday night, you know, Carlton in round 4th home game on a Saturday.
First time in a long time too.
Yeah, first time in sort of eight yep. seasons, I think. So the first, I think, 6 home games in the first 9 weeks. So, look, it's outstanding. And as you said, a bunch of prime time fixtures in there as well. 13 on Channel 7. So commercially, it's good for the footy club as well. So, look, I think it's a great fixture for us. And the AFL have done their job in rewarding. They did say that they would reward teams who had fans fill the stands, who tuned in, you know, in massive numbers broadcast. And if you had a team that was playing attacking and winning football, that they would reward you with a fixture the following season. So, look, they've done that and we're really happy.
Hey, just in light of the Richmond nude photo scandal, does the club revisit the protocols? I know the AFL have their protocols every pre-season. It goes through the list when all the boys get together. But is that something you would sort of make a mental note of to go, I know I'm backing my boys in, but I just want to remind everybody where that's at? Or have you done that?
We haven't done it, not to my knowledge, in the last week. The boys are on their break, but I'm sure they've been following it. Look, those protocols, whether they're the formal written ones or the training sessions that take place, you know, we add to those or augment those sort of every season. And you know, this is obviously an unsavoury incident, but it does send a statement to the other players across the competition to say, you know, here's another no-go zone. So it does prompt a conversation to happen in a different way, which is, if there's some good to come out of it, those sessions that guys might sit through every single year that might become a little bit repetitive suddenly have a different look and feel to them. So So, yeah, we'll be sure to remind them. But, again, you hope that common sense rules away most of the time.
Fags, obviously the football club, the coaching department and obviously the hierarchy reviewed the grand final loss. It was a poor loss. We know that. What has come out of that review as a football club going forward to making sure that the boys get another opportunity?
Yeah, you're right there. The review hasn't finished, I don't think. So I think Pikey and will go away and percolate a little bit over the break, and as they formulate the program coming back, they'll take another close look. They've obviously reviewed the game. Mm. What they won't walk away from is actually how successful the year was and how we played to get ourselves there. That suggests that there's a lot of things going right at the football club. Over 6 months of playing, it was pretty consistent, was pretty high quality.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad performance, and obviously we picked a bad day to have one, as we've said previously. Richmond, deserving premiers, they played really well, and we were off. So there's some learnings from it, they'll be implemented through our program in 2018. I mean, one of them, actually, when you bring it back to the fixture, I think is probably good, is that we play Richmond on Friday the 6th of July at the MCG on a Friday night clash.
Good test.
You'd expect that if both teams are going okay, you might get 80,000-90,000 people that game.
Yeah,
we didn't go into it. We didn't have that atmosphere or that environment at all in 2017 up until the grand final. So you've got the grand final event, 100,000 people there. We'll get another taste of that sort of here, which hopefully if we're able to put ourselves back into position, we'll hold us in good stead.
A couple of good additions from a coaching point of view. Josh Frank, who comes back, which is fantastic. And some great work, superstar player. And the return of Benny Hart, one of the ex-champs who's, four or five, who played 300 now. He returns home. So that's great news for the footy club.
Yeah, Hall of Famer, Benny Hart. So, both obviously great players in their own right and both really credentialed and well-respected coaches. So it's outstanding to have those guys at the footy club. Pikey again will finalise sort of what that structure looks like over the next couple of weeks, and when he comes, he's going to the UK. So when he comes back, we'll lock all that down. But look, quality individuals and great coaches, and I'm sure they'll add tremendous value to the list.
Unfortunately, some more sad news over the break. Huey Greenwood's mum passed away. It's just keeps lingering around the footy club. I know you can't help these things, but how's Huey doing and his family? All good, hopefully?
Yeah, I think he's doing as well as you can through these times. So his mum's been crooked for a little while, and Hugh's obviously a tremendous character who's himself invested a lot, raised a lot of money to support causes, research into cancer and the like. So he's been an active campaigner, and a lot of that's because he's had a personal story to tell. So I've sort of exchanged some communication with him, and he seems like he's in a decent headspace and ready to take some time to, I suppose, deal with the loss and refresh, and then get back here ready for day one of pre-season training.
Yeah, I mean, it's great too to see his dad become such a feature through the Roaming Bryan stuff. What a character. I mean, you feel like you know the family, so you just want to know that they're all going
Looks like he's his older brother.
Doesn't it? It was amazing. Stick around. Great news too for Huey Greenwood and Alex Keith, both been elevated to the senior list in 2018, Jars, for both rewarded for their great work.
Very good, Luke.
Folks, we're going to get to a song. We'll get back. We need to talk about how buff you are looking, but also Jake Leavitt, Charlie Cameron, and Eddie Betts, who just keeps kicking goals on and off the field.
It's the Rush Hour with Charles and Louis, thanks to McGain Real Estate on Triple M.
Andrew Warren Fagan, CEO of the Adelaide Crows, is with us. Folks, quick question before we move on to Jakey Lever, Charlie Cameron, and of course, you looking like our Ivan Drago at the moment.
Ivan Drago, he is too.
Pikey, last week, I think last Thursday or Friday was cranky co-worker day. Is Don been able to just let it go? Because I mean, I'm still bitter after 20 years. So I could imagine how fresh it might still be with the coach.
Well, the good thing was he obviously was present at the start of trade period. Then we sent him away and he's been over in the West. He's got a little place, I think it's in the bush somewhere, close to the beach, but in the middle of the bush, sort of down south of Perth. He's basically off the grid. So he was contactable by mobile, but otherwise we just pretty much left him alone. No one wanted to spend too much time with him. So I'm sure he'll emerge from there, maybe with a big bushy beard and Tom Hanks
style.
Correct. He'll be fresh. He's a really positive coach, actually, and he'll deal with it. He'll look for improvement, and he'll come back bouncing, bouncing Benny ready to go.
Mate, can you put this to bed? Charlie Cameron. Now, I sit on radio at 1:15 p.m., Fags, that he was staying at the Adelaide Crows because he had a game of golf with the senior coach. A year to go on his contract, required player. What the hell happened? Did I get that information wrong? Was I fed that information incorrectly?
No. This is 1:15 on the...
On the Thursday, before the deadline.
On the Wednesday, that would have been.
Oh, the whenever that was. Wednesday, whenever the trade finished, folks. It was 15 minutes to go.
Yeah. No, so that's correct. So the bottom line is Charlie wasn't going to go. And we had no intention of sort of letting him go. Yeah. He was important to us for next season.
Yeah.
And there'd been a variety of conversation that he'd had with the coach where, you know, he committed to us that he understood that he was under contract. He wished to go, but he also understood that unless we could get the balance within the group that we felt we, you know, were going to sort of improve as a footy club, then it was unlikely that we were going to let him go. And he promised to commit 100% to the team and he'd be playing his best. So that was the understanding. And coupled with that was the fact that, you know, Brisbane had put sort of value on the table, which we didn't think was sufficient incentive to have us change our mind. So even notwithstanding that earlier position, can you wedge him out from us and to have us change that position, which... and that's how it stood. And I was on the phone to Pikey on Wednesday afternoon, and that was the position. On Wednesday night, we're actually finalising the Bryce Gibbs trade on a teleconference with our list management group, Mark Rusciutto, you know, Pikey, myself, Justin Reid, Brett Burton. And that night, there were some text messages that were coming through from Charlie. His position had changed a little bit. He was feeling uncomfortable about staying. He sort of said, like, I know I've said what I've said, but I'm not sure I can commit. And we sort of took that on board. So probably our confidence levels changed a little bit about whether, how good he was going to be able to be the next year. Up until that point, there was absolutely no way he was going to go. And then, but even then, we weren't going to do a deal for pick 19 or pick 20. Right. We would have, if that had have stayed on the table, we would have stayed where we were. And David Noble at Brisbane's made that really clear. He said he was looking to on-trade pick 12 and to split it and do some other things with it up until 20 minutes to go because it wasn't part of the equation. There was no deal happening.
Yep.
And then that, you know, Charlie and his manager and Brisbane and our list management team said, look, if you want to make this happen, we recognise that Charlie's shifted in his position.
Okay.
And that's concerned us. And if you can put something on the table that's...
Attractive.
Yeah. Well, then we'll do it. Okay. And this all took place. I ducked up to Noosa for the last couple of days and Lana wasn't that happy because I pretty much was on my phone for constantly. I was that bloke walking up and down the beach in his board shorts just on the phone looking like a complete tosser.
Really so, relaxing down.
So I actually saw Dom Cassisi there as well. So our umbrellas were pegged up next to each other. So he was laughing at me. And I actually said to him on Thursday, on that morning, just before trade period was ending, he goes, man, how are you going? What's going on with Charlie? I said, mate, I actually think we're going to try to get a deal done now. Yeah. Up until just now, it wasn't going to happen. So I said, but if they don't put anything on the table, it won't be happening. Okay. Mm. And then they threw pick 12 on with 15 minutes to go. We did the deal. So they're the facts. And that's how it, and I can confirm.
Did they play golf, folks? For whatever reason, it's a he said, she said. Yeah. People were ringing
people
up pro shops and suggesting that he didn't play golf.
So he just joined a couple
ironic,
of holes.
It's ironic that the same week the JFK files come out, that we're talking about the grassy fairway. So did it really happen?
There was absolutely a game of golf. I actually find this quite hilarious this has become a talking point. So Charlie played golf with Tate Kaysler, one of our other coaches.
Piglet.
They played 18. They played at West Flakes. Pikey played the first nine with them. I think David Teague jumped in it from holes 8 to 15. Tate finds it extraordinary that he's like, well, I was there. These guys were all with me. He says, I've got the scorecard. There's absolutely zero doubt they play golf. And anyone suggesting otherwise is being mischievous. Or
I need to apologise to Shutsy then.
Doesn't know.
Yeah, you do. and the other one, Jake Lever, BNF invite. Yes, no, what?
But everyone, all
lost
players
in translation.
They all get a BNF invite, so that's just silly. Yep. It's again, I don't understand it, but you know,
who's stirring the pot?
Well,
do we know?
Well, you can make the judgments on that.
But I don't think it's hard to work out.
Look, he was invited, and obviously it's a difficult situation. It gets a bit tricky, and Brett Burton actually called Jake on the Friday just to actually check because there was all this conversation going on about whether he was or wasn't coming. So he called him and said, "Mate, are you coming to the BNF?" And he said, "You know, no. I'm going to pack up my car and I'm going to get out of here today." So Brett said, "Okay, I understand that." And probably probably a good decision. Like, yeah. I get it because it's uncomfortable. Mm. So,
yeah, yeah.
But if he had have said, yeah, I'm going to be there, I'm just picking up my suit, it would have been okay.
Mm.
So it's...
But I'm at the tip throwing out my crow's gear.
Oh. It's just... yeah.
What about that?
But I don't have a crow suit anymore.
So. That's more rubbish.
The torch went on... I've never seen the torch like that on Adelaide Football Club for 2 weeks in every way, shape or form. For some reason, off the back of... What is a heartbreaking loss in a grand final? It's just like everybody decided just to turn it right up and see if we can't get you just to burn.
I think it was a really unique period, and we've spoken about this. Well, when we spent half of it sort of scratching your head and a bit intrigued, half of it, and I'll give you about four halves, but half of it was still disappointed from the loss, and half of it going laughing, going, what is this story? Yeah. The number of things that apparently had taken place that just hadn't were just extraordinary, and you felt as though if we wanted to comment on every one of them, we'd be literally picking up the phone every 10 minutes and saying, no, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. But we were absolutely transparent throughout, just as we were with the Bryce Gibbs trade. So we had moved on from that one. Yeah. Carlton had said there's no way it's happening.
Yeah.
We'd actually told them the same thing. We said, look, we're just marching on. We said, press and fans are going to ask. We said, our position is we're assuming there's nothing to be done here. They said, yep, there is nothing to be done. He's a required player at a football club, and we said, good, we're marching onwards.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, I think, the Tuesday night prior to the Thursday deadline that, the call came to us to say some things have shifted. Do you want to talk? And the guys through Wednesday, by Wednesday night late, we got a deal done. So it was the last 48 hours. So it was a funny period, but hopefully we've now, turned to somewhat truth and transparency. And
just get ready for pre-season now, mate.
Tell you what I am looking forward to, folks, and we've run out of time. I can't get to the fact that congrats to Eddie Betts on the twins that are coming
next awesome
year.
News.
It's great news. Yeah. In fact, you're looking so fit. You've got a few mates and you've got to try and beat out. What I'm waiting for is to run into Kane Corns out on a run.
Could be interesting.
And see whether you can just hold speed for a while to get a few answers before he puts
He's a marathon runner now, little stud.
I'm pretty sure Kane's got me in the run. So hopefully, if we're going in opposite directions.
Yeah.
opposite directions, I'll be happier
just
to run into him.
Just a quick phone call. Which way is he going? Clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Yeah, I'll find his regular route.
Great to talk to you,
good
folks.
On you,
thanks
mate.
For clearing up a couple of things. Enjoy. You got some time off now yourself?
No, look, I actually just had a week off, so I'm back and refreshed and ready to go. And we've got a little bub due in mid-December, so my Christmas break will be elbows deep in nappies, and it'll be awesome.
Well played.
Well done.
Good work, mate. Thanks for coming in. Really appreciate the time.
Andrew Thanks, guys.
Fagan,
appreciate
CEO
support.
Of the Adelaide Crows. All right.
What do you need, mate?
Test driving a brand new segment, Jars' Top Fives.
Okay.
And it's not the top fives you think of that you see, like, the 20 to 1s on TV. Yeah. None of that.
Nah.
This is some of the secrets that have got the great black rhino to where he is today. And today's top five is all about earthing, about life balance, how he stays so centered, having such a hectic, high profile lifestyle.
Vibrant health is very important. Humble when I win awards. If you win an award, be humble. I did today down at the Guide Dogs, the graduation of our little dog, Rubes, who's going to be a brood. Maz and I were there, and Maz had to go to the ladies. I was with Rubes in a jacket.
Yep.
Paparazzi everywhere. I was humble.
Yeah.
Riley tried to jump in.
Yeah, did too.
Riles buzz off.
Did you utter the words from Madagascar? Smile and wave.
Yeah.
Smile and wave. To Rube?
Now, swim in the ocean or lakes.
Oh, yes.
If you find water around you, my loves.
Take a load off.
Just go.
Yeah.
And nude.
Is that where you feel at your best?
Nude. Yeah, I love swimming nude in our pool.
Mm.
So when the kids are gone and it's mum and I I'm just in there.
Have you got high fences?
Yes, I have. No, I've got neighbours that can look in. But hang on, but
that's
my area.
That's their problem.
I don't care who they are.
That's their
They're
problem.
Not existent.
You're exploring yourself. I
now,
like it.
Bare feet in the sand.
Oh, I love it. Hey.
There you go, family.
It's all time.
It gets rid of the negative energy in the surface.
Sand in the toes.
You can smell the dolphins out there.
Earthing.
All right, family. I bath. Yes, I bath. I have oils and candles.
Bathe.
A bit of both. Get the skin to contact with the oils. You with me?
I'm hearing you, grasshopper.
And you've got to have at least 4 to 6 candles lit in your bath and environment. And no music. And I'll tell you this. Electronic devices off when you're having a bath.
Yep. Family, get it off. Mm. You need your own time.
Oils and naked flames?
Yes, sir.
Can be a little dangerous?
A little bit of dangerous. How many am I up to?
Four.
Hug a tree.
Oh.
Hug a damn tree if you find one.
Mm.
Give it 5 minutes.
Mm.
We've got a lot of trees around our oval down at Henley.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see me there hugging a tree for at least 5 minutes.
Yep.
And the dogs are wondering what you know Papa's doing, but I'm just finding myself, finding my spirit, and getting ready for a big day's work.
Oh,
so there you go, family. There's just a couple of little tips.
Tidbits.
Take it on board. Give it a go.
I can see you doing the grass angels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just, like that. Yeah. But I just want to say to all the little kiddies that I want you to start to learn to earth is, please, after 6 p.m, you must turn off all your electronic devices.
Yeah.
That's enough. You need to eyeball, talk, communicate, share. Learn how to eyeball and learn how to communicate and engage. Engage with your mum and dad and your aunties and your friends.
Practice the art of conversation.
Thank you very much. There you go.
I'm all over his eyes at the moment. I can't take my eyes off you.
They're shining, aren't they?
No, they're not shining. He's just drawing me in.
Yeah. Come in. Come in.
His spirit. Mm. Do you know if you blow into a dog's nose, it has your spirit?
That's beautiful to know.
And then your spirit and your soul goes into their soul and you connect.
That's brilliant.
Oh, stop it.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's time for our favourite Warren.
Because I'm Warren.
Warren.
Gary Treadray.
Here I am. Good stuff.
Yeah, we're going to call him Vincent today because the draw's out. G'day, Vincent Treadray. How are you? Treads. What'd you make of it, Treads? For those who've missed it off the top of the show, prime time is probably what it's all about. Friday night, 5 for Adelaide, Sydney, Richmond.
Fair enough.
4 for the following Essendon, Western Bulldogs. That's down from 8 last year, by the way. And Carlton somehow miraculously get back up to 4 after that disastrous, and I think we all remember it, 2015 when they had 7. 11. Channel 7 were just running.
They did 11, didn't they?
I think they were in terms of night games and prime time.
Yeah, prime time. It
was 7 Fridays. What do you make of it all, Treads, especially that Carlton have somehow found their way back into prime time footy when the reality is they're still a bottom 2 or 3 side?
Yeah, well, they finished 13th, didn't they? So I think the challenge there is Adelaide, Richmond, Sydney, yep, tick every week. Yeah, you know, Port get a couple. They got a Thursday night. There's a batch of 3 in a row there in that situation. That's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
But how Carlton's got it, they're not even a big pulling crowd team anymore. They used to be Collingwood. Carlton used to be massive. Now, because they are where they are, 13th, they're struggling to get, you know, they've got to get the house in order first before their footy. And you'd think that Bryce Gibbs instantly makes them weaker by going to Adelaide. So
yep.
I think you'd be sitting there at Carlton on the board going, oh, thank you. But didn't the Bulldogs in their premiership year not have one? And North Melbourne, I don't think, had won because the last couple of years because they didn't deserve it. Fair enough.
Western Bulldogs sooking, losing Good Friday.
I find this ridiculous. Peter Gordon's gone, oh, well, you know, we want to please explain the AFL, no Friday night exposure, premiership team of 2 years ago, But they're whinging that they don't have good Friday footy because they took on North last year. And it was a pretty good game, overwhelming success.
It was, yeah.
But there was also a press release released by the AFL, courtesy of Patrick Keane, head of media for the AFL.
He went quick today, didn't he?
And he's just gone, I've got this one ready. Yeah. It said at the bottom, Good Friday will be played. This was last year between the Western Bulldogs and North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium at a 7:30 start or whatever it was. But there is no guarantee that either of these teams will be in this position for the following season.
Read the print.
So, Trez, you did touch on the back-to-back-to-back games here. 3 in a row for both our clubs. Make it 4 for Adelaide if you include a showdown. So Adelaide's run begins in round 6, concludes in round 9. That's 4 in a row, including a showdown there.
Which is Port Adelaide's showdown.
Port Adelaide, 3 in a row from round 12 to 14. I mean, a lot of it comes about because obviously come games on the Gold Coast, which Gold Coast means they're playing away a lot early on.
Yep.
And it sort of makes we have to manipulate the draw a bit. But it's kind of funny that you're staying at home for 3 in a row in a national competition and then 4 in a row. It sort of doesn't fit the mould, does it?
And also, too, the bit with the Gold Coast is they've flogged off a game to Cairns, they've flogged off a game with Port Adelaide to China, and they're playing a game at Brisbane. That's 3 already gone. So it's not that big issue. I just find it hard. Like, I love that Port Adelaide. They go Friday, Thursday, Friday. You go, geez, that's good. But for Adelaide to get 4 in a row, really? Like, I'm not saying they don't deserve them, they do, but why can't we spread them out? Mm. So instead of actually copping in a batch, 6 to 10, you actually got 1 at 6, 1 at 9, 1 at 12. So, yeah, it's spread out because at the moment, for me, it's just all clumped. Surely you can just generally play home, away, home, away, home, away. It shouldn't be that hard, should it?
Well, if you have an 18-round comp, you'd be able to do it.
Yeah, well, then you've got to cut your
TV rights.
That's what
it should be. This is so... you've got to cut your TV... This draw.
Yeah, but it always has
all
been.
All Victorians.
That's all it's for. No, but it has always
all
been.
All the Victorian clubs get all the good games at MCG where you win a grand final.
You know what the Victorian clubs do?
Default
setting. Yeah, exactly. They do heavier lifting throughout the season and they play on familiar grounds during the finals.
Yes.
At home, coming to play Adelaide at Adelaide or Port at Adelaide or the Perth teams Perth
It's scary.
Is harder.
Hey, new segment coming up here. Need your thoughts on this one. With Jars being the elder statesman on this program and the self-professed show romantic, it's time to do this.
Treaders love tips.
Yep, there it is.
Right,
it is walking with the lovely etiquette
today.
As brought to you by Andrew Juice Newton Jarman.
Henley Beach Road, how rude are you? You are so disrespectful that you're on your mobile phone while your lovely partner was walking hand in hand down Henley Beach Road in this beautiful conditions, and all you were worrying about with your peacock attitude on the phone while she was trying to have a conversation. That's rude. Don't take your phone when you go for a walk.
She had her phone.
But she wasn't on it, son.
Oh, just when
she
you drove past.
Talk. She wanted to engage with
Where
you.
Where was it? We went down to the coffee shop.
Past Foodland.
Yeah, we went down to the coffee shop. And you know what was funny?
Yeah.
I thought that fat, bald-headed bloke might be driving past for work right now.
I was with Matt.
Yeah,
with
and you know what?
Ruby.
I couldn't give a stuff what you
think. That's rude. As far as I'm concerned, that's rude. I never take my mobile phone if I go
You don't
for a
answer it. You don't know how to answer it or use it. So that's totally different.
You
and
agree
the fact
it's rude?
Is,
it's rude?
It could be, but the problem is I come in here and you tell me you mean to bring content. I was actually searching what I can talk about, the draw. Otherwise, we'd have a blank 5 minutes. So shut your hole and next time, be grateful for what I bring to this show.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, you're back in your place
no,
at the moment,
it's
aren't
not.
You? All right, good to see you, Treads.
Right, get Jazza, bro.
Well done, Fabio. Well done, everybody. It's a rush hour.